Portions of the following program are transcribed.
This is San Francisco, Wednesday morning, January 11th, 1950. This is San Francisco, a wonderful city. And this is Jim Grady, your San Francisco reporter. This morning, I've an invitation to open house at the Art Museum on Van Ness Avenue. And then a report on a not-so-new way to get your electricity free. All a part of San Francisco this damp Wednesday morning. Mrs. Trellis House, 17 Whitney, here in San Francisco, says, "Since I discovered Spry, my pie crust always comes out tender and flaky. You should see how my husband goes for every pie I make." Ladies, Aunt Jenny can make you a better cook, too. Right, Aunt Jenny?
Yes, I can, ladies. Just do these two simple things. One, follow my tested methods and recipes given in Spry ads and on most Spry labels. Two, use new, better-than-ever Spry. These methods and recipes with new Spry will make you a better cook.
New Spry is blander, creamier, contains an even better cake improver ingredient. New Spry is made a special way to give you finer, lighter cakes, nut-sweet, flakier pastries, crispy, brown, tender, digestible fried foods.
You'll be a better cook than ever when you use Spry.
Get new Spry at your grocer's today, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company.
The other day, while in the Art Museum in the Civic Center, I was startled by a sound I'd never heard in the museum before, loud, bubbling laughter. Curious, as always, I poked my head around a corner and saw a couple convulsed at the sight of one of the pictures. So I tracked down Robert Church, who for the past 5 years has been curator of the museum, and asked him if he knew what was going on. "That's a very welcome sound to our ears," said Mr. Church, a young man who's studied aesthetics in 5 universities. "Shows we're getting a human response, that there's nothing stuffy about this museum. And last year, the 150,000 visitors must have agreed that here is a museum that has nothing at all in common with tombs and mausoleums." The museum was established in 1921 as a direct outgrowth of the San Francisco Art Association in the Palace of Fine Arts in the Marina. In 1935, it moved into its present location when it also severed its connections with the parent body to become its own organization. The San Francisco Museum of Art in the Civic Center is not a city project. The city does make annual small donations to the museum's work, but the burden of financial responsibility falls upon the museum's board of trustees, who get out and rustle up the money from memberships and donations. Although more and more people come every year, this month the museum is making an all-out effort, really to show the public just what goes on behind the scenes, so that we of San Francisco can more readily appreciate the work of Director Grace L. McCann Morley and her staff of some 22 people. The museum shows 125 exhibits a year, changing the shows in each of the galleries on the average of every 3 weeks. Right now you'll find sculptor analysis, photographs by Telberg von Telleheim, lithographs by Picasso, and many, many more. But what interested me most were the plans Mr. Church showed me for the museum at work. One half of this exhibition hall will be taken up by a sample of the extension exhibition which the museum sends all around California and to Alaska to the schools, organizations, and individuals who request it. There will be photographic displays of the various activities of the museum, like their rental gallery, where you can take art home to appreciate if you can't afford to buy it. There'll be displays of how the museum has worked out new methods of showing pictures, even down to such things as hanging them almost at floor level. You'll see how the museum has worked to bring us a deeper appreciation of decorative arts, furniture, glassware, wallpaper, houses, and the like. The adult and children's classrooms will be open for inspection, and there will be motion pictures on the subject of art in San Francisco. I don't have to tell you all that the museum has lined up in order to interest you, but if you will go tonight at 8:30, you can attend the grand opening and see for yourself. Originally, this was scheduled just for the members of the museum, but Mr. Church is extending everyone the invitation to come. Of course, as always, the admission is free. In all the years, says Mr. Church, we have tried to live up to our pledge to present the broadest possible selection of vitally interesting contemporary art. Since contemporary art can cause as many arguments as politics or football, I asked Mr. Church if people ever expressed direct criticism. Oh, yes, he replied, we take a lot of ribbing from people. The most general question is, what's that supposed to be? Why does it look like that? Some people even go so far as to mutilate the pictures they disapprove of. But on the whole, says Mr. Church, they come to see what we have to offer. So, if you've wondered how to make head or tails of modern art, get the help of experts. Go to the San Francisco Museum of Art in the north side of the War Memorial Building during the present show. And if you have to laugh, go right ahead. Mr. Church and the staff won't mind at all. Now a note on how to get free electricity after this announcement.
Stop colds! Stop colds with Inhiston, the efficient antihistamine tablet. I-N-H-I-S-T-O-N, Inhiston. You've read the dramatic story of how antihistamine treatment can stop colds in your family, but it's important for you to know this. To get fullest efficiency in antihistamine cold treatment,
insist on Inhiston.
Yes, Inhiston is actually twice as effective in antihistamine action as any other drug offered for public sale. And remember, it's the antihistamine action that stops the cold.
Of all antihistamines offered to the public, only Inhiston gives you this extra efficiency in antihistamine action.
Don't let that first sneeze or sniffle develop into a full-fledged cold. Stop it fast with Inhiston. Remember, in the great majority of cases, colds can be stopped with Inhiston. So get the handy pink and black pocket pack at your druggist today for just 39 cents.
Stop colds. Insist on Inhiston.
I have news this morning for everyone who thinks their electric bill is too high. If you want to make your own electricity, all you need is a piece of seacoast out by the cliffs and some mechanical ingenuity. If you're clever, you can put the waves of the Pacific to work. But I warn you, it's been tried many times, and only once has anyone had any success with the idea. One of the pleasures of having a job like mine is that people ask you the darndest questions. One of the electricians who's working around here remodeling our studios, Bruce Baker, asked me if I had ever seen the remains of a wave machine out on Point Lobos. I'd heard of the gadget, only vaguely, so I took a cab and went out to investigate. The structure is on the land behind Sutro Baths, so I asked the Mr. Sutro if it would be okay if I trespassed long enough to take a look. Not only did he give me permission, but he sent along one of his staff, Mr. Jim Wood, to guide me out. And sure enough, there was the machine, or what's left of it. Looks like nothing more or less than a wooden country bridge with a big paddle hanging from it. There was another one of these out on those rocks, said Mr. Wood, but we had a big blow a month ago, and it wrecked the thing completely. Nobody could tell me much about the gadget. There was a newspaper article that had a few bits of information. So after stopping at the Academy of Sciences and the California Historical Society, I found myself back at my favorite place, the reference room of the library. And in 5 minutes, Mrs. Schwartz gave me enough information to keep me going for half an hour. First off, around 1909... the inventor Ralph Starr built the wave machine that recently was swept away by the storm. He'd made two working models, one of which actually made electric power down at Pier 2 of the Mission Street Wharf. The principle of the thing was that the waves would move a large float up and down. Connected with cables, this motion would be used to spin a large flywheel, which would then translate its motion into electricity. Mr. Starr got a lot of people interested, raised money, and built a big machine out on the rocks beyond Point Lobos. But when the day came to put the thing to work, Mr. Starr and his family couldn't be found. No one knows exactly what happened to him, but strangely enough, around the same time, a group of businessmen in Los Angeles formed a company and sold stock at 50 cents a share. They were going to use a Starr wave motor to cut the power bill of folks in the six southern counties from $100 to $33 a year. A San Francisco banker, J.H. Bacon, was in on the deal, but history doesn't record any better success down south. However, San Francisco can't claim a first in this attempt to harness the waves. In 1893, down at Pontonera Beach, the Los Angeles Power Company spent $2,000 installing a Wright wave motor. This one used the waves to generate compressed air, which was then used to turn a turbine. Santa Cruz gets credit for having installed a wave motor that worked successfully for 4 years around 1902, the power being used to light the pier and navigation lights. No one seems to know anything about the skeleton of the paddle-type machine that's still standing out at Point Lobos, but a similar one at Venice, California, had the paddle hitched up to an oscillator that ran a series of pumps. They would pump water up to a reservoir, and then by sending it down through tubes, it would be used to work turbines as in a regular mountain stream generating plant. In case you think this all sounds like crackpot stuff from a day when people didn't know much about electricity, don't forget that as late as January of 1948, Lewis Rees, a Harvard professor, tried the same thing all over again out at the Cliff House. He was going to use the up and down motion of the waves to compress air, with which he would run a 3-horsepower motor. He also had the idea of making ice by using the cold that had been generated by the expanding air. He gave it a couple of tries. The tides and the waves were a little too much for him. And then, like Mr. Starr 40 years earlier, Mr. Rees left for parts unknown. He was heard to say that if we didn't like his wave machine, why, he knew people in Brazil who would go for it. So next time you go out to the beach, you might want to go up the old Land's End Road and look down on the remains of the old wave machine. Now you'll have to go on foot because landslides have closed the road to auto traffic. And maybe you'll get the idea that the force of those endless waves should be put to work. But before you waste your time or energy, check up on the subject. Mrs. Schwartz at the reference desk of the public library can tell you where to find all the technical details that I don't have time for.
Nothing on earth gets dirt like surf.
Nothing on earth gets dirt like surf.
A whiter, brighter family wash
than any other soap or suds.
Yes, nothing on earth gets dirt like surf.
No other soap or suds known will get your family wash as white, as bright, as wonder-working surf. S-U-R-F.
Surf sails into dirt, rolls out every trace of grease and grime, gives billows of busy suds even in hardest water, rich, deep suds that get deep down dirt, the clinging dirt that lazy suds miss.
Surf even floats away old soap traces that cloud colors, never leaves dingy film in the water.
For the whitest, brightest wash on earth, get S-U-R-F, Surf, another fine product of Lever Brothers Company.
Try it and see for yourself.
Nothing on earth gets dirt like surf.
No, nothing on earth gets dirt like surf.
My family wash is whiter now and brighter than it ever was.
Nothing on earth gets dirt like surf.
Have a little entertainment note here. Fats Waller, Jack Teagarden are going to be in the city this evening for a concert starting at 8:28. Well, here's the weather. It's raincoats and umbrellas again today. The weatherman says we're going to have continued showers and low temperatures during the day, so be prepared to stay warm and dry. Well, this is San Francisco, Wednesday morning, January 11th. Tomorrow morning, I'll be around at the same time with some comments about a few new theatrical groups in the Bay Area. So until then, this is Jim Grady, your San Francisco reporter.
This is San Francisco, heard every morning, Monday through Friday at 8 o'clock and on Saturday mornings at 7:45, is a feature presentation of KCBS San Jose, Columbia's key station for the San Francisco-Oakland Bay Area. Portions of the program were transcribed.